the Cloud Podcast, your launchpad for Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud and Out podcast. My name is Michael, and today I don't talk with Andreas here in the podcast. I have a special guest. So Sönke from Hamburg is joining us, and we are going to talk about 3.5 ways to work around missing CloudFormation support. Before we start, let me introduce Sönke shortly to you. So Sönke is from Hamburg in Germany, and he's the co-founder of Superluminar, an AWS consultancy. He also runs Serverless Days in Hamburg. And on top of that, he recently released a project called Superworker that helps you to manage new AWS accounts in a, I would say, easy fashion. So welcome to the show, Sönke. So let's tell our listeners a little bit more about you.
Hi, I'm Sönke, co-founder of Superluminar. We are an advanced AWS consulting partner from Hamburg, and so we have deep knowledge of AWS, and we specialize in secure AWS setups and migrations, and also in everything serverless, or as we call it, serviceful architectures. So we see serverless not only as a technology, but also as a mindset which you can have to approach software development without actually writing much software and owning software, but focusing on the business value. And yeah, so we work with a range of customers from startups up to like bigger enterprises. And I'm also very active in the AWS community. So for example, I'm an AWS community builder and partner ambassador. So, and as we already mentioned, we host the Serverless Days Hamburg, which is, as far as I know, the biggest serverless conference in Germany, and it's a community conference. And yeah, so will probably happen next year again. And yeah, so stay tuned for that. And as you also mentioned, thanks that I can do this little advertisement. So we co-author with another AWS partner, Kreuzwerker, an open source project, and we call it Superwerker, which actually automates the secure and future-proof AWS setup with a one-click setup. So you don't need to know how all this stuff works. You just get an AWS setup with, for example, several services already enabled and also wired together, so you don't, as a new AWS user, you don't have to do and know all this stuff. And we're looking for beta testers. So if you have like something like a greenfield project currently starting, check out superwerker.cloud, and yeah, and maybe contact me, and then we can see how we can support you. And yeah, as I said, we're looking for people who are willing to test this project. So yes, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, that sounds great. And this is actually the project that I was looking at. Like, so Sönke presented this new project to me. And when I looked at it, I realized that there are actually more ways to work around missing CloudFormation support than I thought exist. And so that's why we have this show here today. So before we start, so I was attending the Serverless Hamburg at least two times, and I can definitely recommend it. So if you are living in Europe or in Germany, definitely check that out. So it is a very, like I would say, the location is pretty nice. The people are very welcoming, and also the talks are of high quality. So definitely visit the conference if you are interested in the serverless space. Before we start, I will kind of issue a warning here. So we will talk about ways to work around CloudFormation support. All of them have a limitation or come with a problem. And this problem is that you have to maintain it. And it is sometimes hard to kind of, as soon as CloudFormation adds support, migrate back to the original native CloudFormation support. So when you think about adding one of or using one of those workarounds, always keep in mind that this might increase your future maintenance effort a little bit. But sometimes it's the only option. If you cannot wait for CloudFormation, I mean, you could either use Terraform, or you could come up with a workaround. So I'm going to start with the obvious workarounds, and then I will hand it over to Sönke to talk a little bit more about those new ways he figured out how that can be used to work around CloudFormation support. So the first and I think the most popular option is a custom resource. So a custom resource can be implemented either in a Lambda function, or you can use SNS and then connect SNS to whatever you like to implement a custom resource. So for example, you could push it to an SQS queue, and from there you could, for example, connect an EC2 instance to it. And what you have to do to implement a custom resource is you have to implement three different actions. One is the create action, you have to implement update action, and the delete action. And I mean, kind of the name implies it. When the resource is first created by CloudFormation, the create action is called. You do whatever is needed, you get the parameters, the properties from CloudFormation, and then you return a physical resource ID. So for example, if you create an EC2 instance, that could be the instance ID. During an update, you get the physical resource ID, you get the old properties, the new properties, you do whatever is needed to change the resource, and then you return back a physical resource ID. When the physical resource ID changes, so if it's not the same that was passed into your action, this is actually what CloudFormation calls a replacement. And when such a replacement happens, CloudFormation will call the delete action during the cleanup phase. So you don't have to do the deletion yourself during an update, you just care about the new resource. And then finally, the delete action, this is where you get the physical resource ID, and then you delete the resource that you created. So it is, compared to the other options, I think it is, in terms of effort, it's the low effort option. So it's easy to write such a function, but it is also easy to have many bugs in such a function. And I can tell you from my past experience, so it's not as easy as it might sound, but you get something up and running quickly. And I will link one example in the show notes, and this is about how to add an IAM password policy to your IAM settings, because that's not supported in CloudFormation. And you will see the implementation is really straightforward, and it looks kind of clean. So anything that I forgot to talk about, Sönke, here?
So I can make two additions. So I'm also I have a user of the custom resources, because this is the most convenient way to get up and running and add missing support. So as you mentioned, you can very easily start with it, but what's a little bit frustrating is like the feedback loop, because sometimes you get in when you don't handle exceptions correctly, then you sometimes have to wait like 2 hours for CloudFormation that it continues and stuff like that. And the other thing which I wanted to mention is which is, I find a queue feature, some other people are scared of it, is that you can write, so because it's Lambda, you can use Lambda, and in Lambda, you can use inline code within CloudFormation. So you can put this code into your CloudFormation YAML file, and then you have like a self-contained custom resource. You don't need to pull something from S3 or where you don't know where it comes from. So you get one self-contained CloudFormation template, which I find really cool, because then you can just pass around these CloudFormation templates and they don't need any third-party stuff to work. And you can just see what happens, because the code is inline, and usually it's like, I would say, like 20 to 50 lines of code. So it's not like pages of code which you have to read, so it really fits nice into one CloudFormation template. But it's like Python or JavaScript within YAML, which is kind of a little bit not the cleanest way, but it works. And as I said, it's self-contained then, and I really like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I also use that approach quite often, but I see the limitations. I mean, for example, there's no testing and stuff. So, I mean, if you do this in a more, or if you want to, for example, share this with a lot of other AWS accounts and stuff, then you might also can think about the SNS way, and you just expose a topic, and then the implementation is kind of hidden behind the topic. But yeah, so I usually use the inline approach as well. So The problem with this is custom resources, they don't support all the nice features of CloudFormation. So for example, they don't support drift detection and they don't support resource import. And resource import actually is one of the ways how you can get kind of back to native CloudFormation support once you have a workaround in place. Because with resource import, you could then kind of switch into the native CloudFormation build again. So let's see how we can implement that. And the feature is called a resource provider. And that's it's a newer feature. I think it was launched last year, roughly 1 year ago. The first thing that you do is you define a schema of the resource. So you, for example, specify the properties, you specify the IAM permissions it needs, and all kinds of things. And then you can also share the resource provider with other AWS accounts. So that's also a nice possibility. You get drift detection and resource import support, as I already mentioned. And last but not least, the resource provider code execution doesn't happen in your own AWS account anymore. So for example, with the Lambda approach in the custom resource, the Lambda function runs in your account. With resource provider, that's not the case anymore. The execution is managed by AWS, and also the IAM credentials are managed by AWS. So it's kind of an improvement, kind of version 2 of custom resources, I would say. The problem is that I mentioned you can share resource providers between accounts, and that's true, but the problem is that actually the experience, like the developer experience, is not, I would say it's not good. There's lots of room for improvement. And also the development effort is much higher because you have to implement more actions, and everything is a little bit more complex. So the Java framework, for example, you work in is definitely more complex than what we had before with custom resources. And also documentation is, I wouldn't say it doesn't, or I think it, you can say it's not existing. So basically what you have to do is you look at all the examples that AWS has provided and then figure out how it works. So that's at least my impression. So Sönke, what's your impression of resource providers? Have you used them? So what can you add here?
Yes, so I've used them once. So one cool thing about it is that apparently now AWS writes all their new resources which are supported by CloudFormation with this new framework, with the resource providers, and they also open source at least most of them on their AWS CloudFormation GitHub. This is really cool because there on the one hand there are examples, and on the other hand there's also sometimes previews. So once I saw that they were working on a new resource called AWS CloudFormation StackSet, and if you're familiar with StackSets. So this is StackSets basically is a CloudFormation feature which allows you to deploy one stack into several regions or accounts or even an entire AWS organization. And so I used this preview. So it was not released yet as a really official AWS, so prefix with AWS resource, but I could already use it within my own namespace to test around with it, and this was really cool. So this was also my first interaction with this new type of resource providers. And yeah, so as you said, these currently you have to import these resources into each AWS account, and actually you also have to import it into each region you want to use. So you get, like, if you have many regions and many accounts, then you have like this two-dimensional matrix where you have to actually import the resource before you can use it. So I really hope that they will provide like an at least an AWS organizations integration in the future, and maybe also like a public registry, like for example with Terraform. As Terraform currently does with this public registry, so we can just, so someone publishes, for example, a new resource, and this could not only be AWS but also other providers, and I can simply use it. I don't have to do some import dance first. And yeah, so one specialty I just that just came to my mind is that we get billed for these private resources. So this is also one specialty. So I'm really looking forward to where this goes. The last thing I could mention here is that yes, there are several currently also several third-party providers who already provided resource providers for their own products. So I really hope that this step will go into this Terraform direction soon, where we can just do everything with CloudFormation, but we don't have to manage our state like we have to do with Terraform. So I think this is still the killer feature of CloudFormation, is that it's fully managed. And this is why I also really like CloudFormation. It just works.
Yeah, I agree. And I also there is hope. It is reInvent week or weeks at the moment, so we might see something. So I don't know. Let's hope for that, so that we get a better CloudFormation registry. So, okay, we talked about the first two options that you have, and those are the, I would say, official like ways of working around missing CloudFormation support. And now it gets a little bit, I would say, more niche. So you discovered actually two new ways to work around missing CloudFormation support that I wasn't aware of before. So let's start talking about the new stuff. And the first one is making use of Systems Manager, Sönke. So how does it actually work?
Yes, so Systems Manager, most of you probably, if you have ever heard of it, use it because you know the parameter store, which everyone basically uses, you know it as something with EC2 and Windows, but you don't care then, usually. Or if you care, it's really cool that you use it because it's a really cool service, and it's somehow like a mix of services. So currently it looks a little bit like the fallback service for product managers who don't know where to put their new service. But there is a really nice feature which is called Systems Manager Automation, and this is actually a execution environment where you can execute arbitrary AWS APIs within a really simple YAML language. It looks a little bit like, for example, Ansible. So you write your steps, and you don't have to care about, for example, the runtime or libraries. So because this is taken care by these Systems Manager automation execution runtime, and so you also don't have to do stuff like updating your runtimes or libraries like JavaScript or Python and so on. So, and also it also provides basic features such as conditions, so if then else, and it has a very big library of standard operating procedures such as creating a CloudFormation stack or executing other SSM documents and so on. So for example, there's also something like create a Jira issue, and so it's really like a big collection, which is really cool because it's then maintained by AWS and we don't have to maintain this. And so how can we use this with CloudFormation? So CloudFormation cannot trigger SSM automation documents directly, but there is an integration with Event Bridge for SSM automation. So one practical example we have had in our Superwerker project, which, as I said, sets up your AWS environment, is setting up a GuardDuty delegated administrator. So GuardDuty is the threat intelligence service of AWS, and it will, for example, warn you if some of your EC2 instances apparently was like morphed into a Tor instance or something like that. So, or your S3 bucket got leaked and something. So it's really good to set it up and have the notifications and what we did is we actually automated this new feature called delegated administrators. So all guard duty findings from a multi-account setup will go into a delegated audit account. And I also have, so in the show notes, we can put this as an example, and because you can see this in the open source project, how this works. And two things to mention here as well is that one cool feature of the systems manager automation is that it can automate stuff also across accounts and regions. So you can call these documents, which are like in your account, but you can call it to do this stuff within other regions or other accounts. So it's really cool to administer medium-sized or bigger multi-region or multi-account setups. So, and we have another example for the show notes, which would show how to enable guard duty, for example, for existing accounts and not only for new accounts. And last but not least, one important detail is that as I said, it's fully managed and we don't install anything. So there is simply some AWS client SDK version installed and it seems like it's updated periodically, but we don't know when and we don't know which version. So if you want to use like newer released features or even services, you probably can't do it with this automation, and then you would have to fall back again to have some runtime where you have, let's say, an up-to-date AWS client SDK. So how does this integrate with CloudFormation? So we need something that actually triggers an event bridge, so that after this the SSM automation can run, and this can be actually almost everything within AWS, because nowadays almost everything emits event bridge events. So you can, for example, start this, which we did after for another service finished, in our case, Control Tower. So you can then do it like event-based, and it's somehow decoupled from the stack creation.
You mentioned that there is like the problem that sometimes the runtime, the SSM runtime, is not like up to date with the latest SDK. And that's actually the same problem if you use a custom resource with the inline code, right? Because the node, for example, the node runtime, they are not on the latest SDK as well. I think it's the same for Python. So yeah, but that, yeah, if you really want to use the latest and greatest features, you will probably run into issues there. That's right. Okay, so the good news here is that we can work around something that has an API, and then there is bad news in AWS. So usually AWS is advertised as a cloud where everything has an API, but it turns out that's not true. So there are actually quite a few features without an API. So you also figured out a way to automate AWS parts where there is no API. So how does that work?
Yes, so now let's come to the fun part and the don't try this at home kids part. So some AWS services or features provide no API at all. And I have a few examples. So there are, for example, billing features like setting VAT ID or tax inheritance or currency setting. So this is also like usually a one-time setup. But if people forgot it, then they might run into issues. Another maybe more famous or service is AWS Control Tower, which has no API at all. So no API usually means no CloudFormation support. And there's another example. For example, Amazon Connect also doesn't have all features as an API. So there are parts of AWS where you are forced to click in the console. So it's nearly impossible. But as a last resort, it can be done with headless browser frameworks. So for example, Puppeteer or Selenium. And I first got this idea when I read some code of a project called the AWS Account Controller, which is from Ian McKay, who is also famous for doing really cool and hacky stuff with AWS and abusing AWS services in really interesting ways. So he used actually Puppeteer in the Lambda function to automate something in Amazon Connect, because he used Amazon Connect to that Amazon can call Amazon itself for the account validation. So, but this is another story, which is also fun, but not the part of the story. So I thought, I really need this because I have to set up, I want to automate the setup of AWS Control Tower. And as I mentioned, Control Tower doesn't have an API yet. So I stumbled upon a relatively new service called CloudWatch Synthetics, which is actually a API or website monitoring tool from AWS. One monitoring is called a canary. So, and a canary actually is a managed Lambda function with a runtime which has Puppeteer completely set up. So we could use this service. So we could abuse AWS to log in into the console and click around there and do stuff. And as I said, this CloudWatch Synthetics uses Puppeteer, and also now since a few days you can also use Selenium with Python, and we use it to log in into the AWS console with this. There's this federation get sign in token trick. You can also see this in the show notes, where's another example of how we activate Control Tower. And one big advantage of this is that now these synthetics is completely managed by AWS, and we can actually specify these canaries as a CloudFormation resource, also with inline code, very nice. So we can put this stuff into one CloudFormation template, and we don't need a process for installing or keeping runtimes and libraries up to date. So this is like with a custom resource, we just use what's there, but then we are also limited to what's there. There's one trick. So if you specify the canary via CloudFormation and the AWS synthetics canary resource, and you set one parameter to true, the start canary after creation parameter, then it will just run after the creation. But within your CloudFormation stack, you won't get feedback if this Puppeteer or canary worked without errors or not. So it's not easy to get the result of the automation. The other thing is that it's really like really fragile approach, because the AWS console, it's no stable API. So if they change something in the HTML or CSS, the automation will break.
That's a crazy approach. So what I can think of, there was a blog post about, like, from AWS, where someone built a resource provider that provides bash functionality. So you can basically enter some bash into CloudFormation, and then it is executed on some, I think it's executed on, I don't know if it's Fargate or EC2. But you could do kind of the same thing with this approach. So you could have a custom resource that can click around in the console and make this API call to start the canary and probably also wait if it finished and stuff like this. Yeah. But yeah, the question is, does it make sense to build such a thing, or should we better ask for APIs? I'm not sure, but it's definitely a cool workaround. So I was really, like when I first saw this, I was thinking, so what's going on here? And then okay, so they're clicking around in the console. So that's really cool. So definitely a cool example. So, okay. So I think that's it. So that's the 3.5 ways to work around missing CloudFormation support. So I have a short summary for our listeners. So if there is no API, then there's basically only one option to work around, and that's the CloudWatch Synthetics approach that Sönke talked about last. If there is an API, then you can actually choose between SSM automation, custom resource, and resource registry. I would say that custom resources and SSM is kind of the fast track to get things done quickly. Resource providers are a little bit more effort, but they are definitely this is where the high quality kind of thing it can be made with all the features of CloudFormation and which is future proof and all this stuff. But yeah, you really have to think if that investment is worth the effort to develop it. So that would kind of be my summary. So in case there's anything else you want to add here before we close the episode.
Thanks for having me, and this was really fun.
Yeah, great. And thank you also very much, Sönke, for preparing all that cool stuff and for working on the Super Worker project. So all those links that you mentioned will be in the show notes with a blog post. So we have a blog post again together with the podcast episode covering the same topic. So if you're interested in one of those workarounds, check out the blog post for all the details. Besides that, thanks for listening. And before you leave, please review the podcast, for example, on Apple Podcasts. You can also share this episode with your friends, because learning something new about AWS is always fun, right? And your feedback helps us to improve the podcast. You can reach us via email, Twitter, and all the details to contact us are in the show notes. We are back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye.